tell a story right there. True truth. We have a special offer we've been doing for, I guess, 12, 13 years, 10 or 12. But if you know anybody in prison, or if you know anybody that knows anybody behind bars in this country, get our prayer card. Really, all you need is our address. It's on the prayer card right there on the back. Send us the prisoner's full name. Now, I need their full name. First and last, they'll throw it away. There's four David Byron Turners locked up in the state of Florida alone. Amen. So give me their full name. Give me their prison number. Give me their address. And in a short paragraph, I mean short one, just tell me a little bit about them, their spiritual condition, primarily if they're lost or saved. And we will send them books that we have written over the years free of charge. And we give this to new converts when they get born again. Basic training, that's what that is. That's the first book. I have other ministries and churches that use that book because it's got a little test in the back. And if they'll just show the initiative to do that little test, they'll get all of our books, one book at a time with a test, and they're free to folks behind bars. The books are $4. I don't make anything on any of our books. We just put that money back in the ministry because we give them away. Only Lord can do that math. A little book called The Turn out of Proverbs 1:23. Deals with a few months prior to somebody calling on the Lord. And he said, "Turn you at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you and make known my words unto you." And Ezekiel 14:6 says, "Repent and turn yourselves." So it's defined as repentance, and we know without repentance there is no salvation. The narrow place out of Numbers 22, nobody's ever saved till they get in the narrow place. And they're not saved. They don't even consider God till they get there. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14, "In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider God." Prosperity being defined when everything's going pretty good. And adversity when it ain't. He said in Jeremiah 22:21, "I called on thee, and thy prosperity, and thou saidest, I will not hear." He said, "This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice." By faith and through faith, out of Hebrews 11, parallels works with faith. And if you do anything for the Lord, that's what you run into in prison or out of prison. And a good book to give to a religious, lost person. And that's what you run into primarily in the Southeast. Iniquity, Sin, and Transgression. This book, all sin and transgression emanates from iniquity, according to Jeremiah 33:8. And iniquity being defined as bad attitudes of the heart. And we all have them from time to time. That's my biggest problem. David said in Psalm 66, verse 16, you know, he says, "If I find iniquity in my heart," he said, "the Lord will not hear me." Psalms 32:5, "Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." That's the attitude behind the sin. Then prescription drugs in the spirit. That's the culmination of about a three-year anonymous survey I personally conducted in about 300 Baptist churches that I preached in, and some amazing things I dug up there. That is not a treatise against taking prescription medication. I'm 68, take one myself. It just proves that any medication we take affects the spirit, all right? And by the way, 95% of all crime is drug and alcohol related. So there you go. Then the perfection of beauty. This is a compilation of the 12 best and or most contributing books ever written on the history of the Bible, manuscript evidence. I just kind of went through those books and skimmed the cream off the top. I defined every word I thought would give a fifth grader any problems, being that is the average education level of a prisoner, and put it in a graduating order. And nobody's ever done this. This took me about 5 years. I just took my time and had a ball putting that together. There's nothing like it on planet Earth, and I've got some of them out there. And I've read about 40 books on manuscript evidence, and if you've ever read after that, it's a favorite topic of mine. The author usually shoves you off the deep end of the pool from the first page, but you can get this one. And preacher, here's your complimentary copy for a love gift of $25. I'm just kidding about that, brother. That's free of charge. Free of charge. No problem. Guy preached in prison, and he had a healing and prayer line. And the guy come up and he said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I got a hearing problem." So he stuck his fingers in his ears and popped them out and said, "Be healed." He said, "How's your hearing problem now?" He said, "Well, I don't know. My court date is not the next week." Amen. So you gotta be careful about that. I'm going to show you a 9-minute little DVD of our largest prison Bible school in Mississippi. I've had over 300 in this particular Bible school. And they put this little spiritual armor drill together for you. They did that all themselves. I was there when we was filming it and all. They're going to march for you and quote some Bible. And if you feel like marching, just help yourself. I've seen it many times, and I feel like marching every time. We've been at this 29 years and full time, and you know, every missionary I know, their support is slipping a little bit in these last days, but I knew it was coming. So I've started a Will Work for Food franchise. Amen. And if you sign up, we'll give you your prime location, you know, and your thrift store clothing, we'll supply that, and your cardboard sign, we give you. And if you'll sign up today, we'll throw in a free a crutch. You can't beat it, amen. All right, brother, you go ahead, and then be encouraged. I am a short preacher, okay?
We got souls to save from hell. Sergeant Johnson, you have completed your associate's degree, your bachelor's degree, and well as your master's degree from Gulf Coast Bible Institute and Seminary. We'd like you to tell our honored guests who you are and where you now stand. Sergeant Johnson, right feet. You may begin.
I'm a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by His Spirit, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture, or I will die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If He needs me in Sunday school, to teach the children, work with the youth, help the dust, or just sit and learn, He can use me because I am there. I'm a soldier. I'm no baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, fried up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one needs to remind me, call me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm no wimp. I'm in play, saluting my king, obeying his order, praising his name, and building his kingdom. I don't need no one to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be caught up, traitor, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feeling hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me to this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I still will come out evil. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Ballots cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot size me. And hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. When my commander called me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain, then bring me back to rule the world with him. I'm a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier in the army, and I'm marching heaven bound. Here I stand, sir.
Sergeant Johnson, live faith. Good job, Sergeant Johnson. Sergeant Johnson, about faith. You may fall in.
Family, are we soldiers?
Yes, sir.
Family, are we soldiers?
Yes, sir.
Let's see about that. Family, priest said, helmet. What type of helmet are you wearing?
Helmet salvation, sir.
Order, helmet. Family, priest said, sword. What kind of sword are you carrying?
KJ-611, my word, sir.
Order, sword. Family, priest said, shield. What's the purpose of our shield?
War on fire, God's weak, sir.
Order, shield. Family, priest said, breastplate. What is the purpose of our breastplate?
To produce Christ in our hearts, sir.
Order, breastplate. Family, priest said, loins. High loins girded.
We do, sir.
High loins girded.
We do, sir.
Order, loins. Family, priest said, feet. Order, feet. Alpha, shirt.
With the preparation of Alpha, feet, sir.
Alpha, Charlie, Echo, half left, feet. Bravo, Delta, Foxtrot, half right, feet. Family, priest said, prayer. Order, prayer. What is the purpose of our prayer?
Just to please our spirits, officer.
Ready, prayer.
Right, would you please lead our family through the 34th Psalm?
Yes, sir. I'm learning. I'll teach tongue.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy 4. I told you, I am a short preacher. My wonderful wife calls me sweet and low. Amen. And but when we get to heaven, we're going to be equal. Hallelujah, brother. By the way, the little cadence they made up was, Mama, Mama, can't you see what the Lord has done for me? No more beer and no more wine. I got Jesus on my mind. No more crack and no more dope. Jesus is my only hope. No more coming back to jail. We got soldiers saved from hell. Amen. That stirs me every time. 2 Timothy 4, one verse. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Said, for I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Father, help us tonight, please, Lord. Encourage your people. Thank you for what we've seen. Stirs me every time. God, help us tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Give you a little thought about finishing right. Bible said in Acts 20, none of these things move me that I might finish my course with joy. I'm like most of these men. Maybe they didn't get started right. Broken families and homes and all of that business there. But it really doesn't matter how you got started. Romans 14:12 said, every man should give account of himself to God. What really counts is how we finish, amen. And I charge you tonight, finish right. Finish right. Doesn't matter how you started, finish right. And we'll find how right here in this short chapter. Verse 2 says, preach the word. Preach the word. If we're gonna finish right, we must have a duty to preparation in the word. I've been saved 35 years, and You know, I wanted to see my friends and everybody else saved. I got saved late. I was 32 years old, but it didn't take me long to find out that the world was not interested in my opinion. Romans 10:17 said, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." 1 Thessalonians 2:13 said, "It is the Word of God which worketh effectually in them that believe." Amen. Bible said in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And when I start a prison Bible school, and we got about 60 of them, I will have a graduating class. This is not a little dumbed-down surface study. These men actually earn a Bible degree through prison Bible school, which I'm a graduate of Gulf Coast Bible Institute in Florida, and I talked with the president there and got a reduced price from him. I got to rearrange the courses in a graduating order. I had to take some of the courses out. They just would not survive and be prison user friendly. But it's nonetheless, they earn a Bible degree. And I will have a graduating class in less than a year every time that I start one. Somebody will earn that three-year degree. And if you're going to do that, and if we're going to finish right, there must be a duty to preparation in the Word. Then verses 3 and 4, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Number 2, there must be a doctrinal position in our walk. Going to finish right. Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Titus 2:1, it said, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Like this pastor, and he saw one of his church members, and he said, "William," he said, "where you been? Hadn't been a long time." He said, "Preacher," he said, "I done joined another abomination." Amen. And, you know, I was the only black sheep in my family. Got a brother and 2 sisters, and I started getting in trouble when I was, you know, 10, 11 years old, and finally ended up in prison when I was 20 for a short stretch. But my family wanted me to get right and do right and stay right, and rightfully so. But when I got born again, they didn't want me getting that right. Not going too far, jumping off the deep end. I mean, you know, witnessing to anything, stand still long enough, going to church all the time. They thought I joined another abomination, amen. And my siblings to this day hadn't talked to me in years, and they think I'm going around hoodooing all these churches and beating them out of their money, and they never heard me preach, but it don't matter, right? I'm going to finish right. And Romans 1:16, you know, talks about the doctrine of Christ, and if they don't preach it according to doctrine, it said, avoid them. Every prison that I've been in a few thousand in these years, for whatever reason, and jails, are predominantly charismatic in flavor. And this one that you just saw was no different. Had a charismatic chaplain. These guys got in that Bible school, and at one point it occupied one-fourth of that prison, and was devoted to prison Bible school. We started with the chaplain there and started the Bible school, and in a couple of years he got promoted to the associate warden of programs, and he just cordoned off a block. They didn't have an officer over them, and had over 300 in that at Bible college. And when the chaplain would come in there, they'd just cut him up with the Word of God. Amen. He just finally got to where he wouldn't come in no more. Amen. You're going to finish right. There must be a doctrinal position in our walk. Amen. Then, in the middle of verse 5, said, do the work of an evangelist. Going to finish right, there must be a devotion to persuasion in our witness. Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11 said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Talking about the judgment seat in verse 10, must be a devotion to persuasion. And I witness, I was in a sizable church some years ago. They had on their, in the foyer, 500 visits made this week. They didn't have one visitor in the church on that Sunday morning. Got to be a devotion to persuasion. And give you a little homework. You can check it out yourself. Paul in Acts 9, you might remember, he got saved there, and the Bible said he disputed with the Grecians. And they set about to slay him. And the disciples got Paul out of town. And the very next verse after he left, it said, then the churches had rest and multiplied. You do not want that for your Christian legacy. You know, everywhere you go, when you leave, the church does better, amen. But you find Paul some 14 years later in Acts 17 dealing with the Grecians again. And verse 2 said, Paul, as his manner was, persuaded them out of the Scriptures. Quit disputing with them, started persuading them. And the Bible says many of the Grecians got saved, and the women, not a few. Going to finish right, must be a devotion to persuasion in our witness. When these guys go as far as they can in this Mississippi school, and as you can see, I've got a few of them go up to your doctorate. And the average education level for prisoners is fifth grade. And most of them cannot get their master's and doctorate because they just can't write a thesis. And we don't dumb it down. Everybody's got to do just like they do if they're in the Bible school on the outside. So when they go as far as they want to, or as far as they can, they are sent as missionaries by two to the worst part of that prison to preach the gospel to those men and tell them about the Savior. Going to finish right. Must be a devotion to persuasion in our witness. Proverbs 20, verse 5 said, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Amen. Devotion to persuasion in our witness. Then in verse 10 said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. Number 4, there must be a discipline to pleasure in this world. Guarantee you. Can't finish right without it. I don't know if you notice what that man said, but everybody in that Bible college forfeited their recreation time to get in the school in the first place. I mean, as an ex-convict, I can tell you that's your number one commodity in prison, is when somebody opens up your door and lets you go out in the yard and exercise or soak up the whatever it is. Number one commodity, and these guys, they forfeit that to learn the Word of God. Got to be a discipline to pleasure in this world. I remember my two youngest ones, Aubrey Ann and Jason, they were, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, and we had a fellowship, and the preacher, they ate themselves sick at the fellowship. We had to take them home, put them to bed, you know, and Daddy got them up the next morning. I said, look, now, that didn't please me what went on last night, so Now, if it ever happens again, we're going to have something beside a devotion next time. You know, had a little devotion on temperance and moderation. And, well, you know how we are. It wasn't long before we did have a fellowship. And Aubrey Ann, my only girl, she was at the end of a long fellowship table. And I saw her just piddling around with her food. And finally, she couldn't stand it anymore. And she put her utensils down. She hollered at me, "Daddy, am I sick yet?" Amen. Aubrey Ann was real concerned about a discipline to pleasure in this world. I guarantee you can go to Albany and get into all the sin that you want to. And if that ain't big enough, you can go to a bigger city. As a matter of fact, we can bring it into our homes and, you know, what we read and watch. I'll even go a step further. You may watch and do only good, wholesome things and do it too much. Every now and then, you just need to turn off the TV and forget about garage sales and golf and hunting and get your Bible and get you some tracts and go out and do something for God. You want to finish right, there must be a discipline to pleasure in this world. 2 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4 said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Then last, look at verse 18. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We're going to finish right. There's got to be a desire to praise in our worship. Psalms 9 says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will be glad and rejoice in me." Desire to praise. We might as well get used to it, because that's all we're going to be doing in heaven. Amen. Anybody ever came face to face with the Savior in either testament, fell prostrate on their face and worshiped him? Those 24 elders, those four beasts around the throne, day and night, without end, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Desire to praise in our worship. Most churches have on their marquee, you know, worship service, 11 a.m., and I dare say most churches don't know a whole lot about worship. My home church, when I got saved 35 years ago, I don't think you could get more doctrinally correct and sound than that church. But we had to get up in some old-fashioned camp meetings in Alabama to learn anything about worship. Going to finish right. Got to be a desire to praise in our worship. Believe it or not, during our prison revivals, and we do about over 40 a year, over 10 or 12 states, I've got a team of men, most all of them been with me many, many years, and I lead the song service. And by the way, I want to commend the choir and your song leader, Brother Bullock, is that right? That's a good song leader right there, I guarantee you. You don't know how important that is, singing loud. Psalm 98:4 said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." That'll include anybody that can carry any kind of a tune in any kind of a bucket. And the second part of the verse said, "Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." And that encompasses the rest of us, amen. Nothing will impress a visitor much more than good singing from a church, and I'll do a great, great job. And I usually do that, even though scratchy voice, I can carry a tune. And we keep it simple during a prison revival. I mean, usually just sing a couple of hymns. I'm trying to get in two preachers, and we always sing "Victory in Jesus." That's kind of our theme song, and we always end up with "Amazing Grace." Prison is not a place to try to teach people a new song. It don't work out good, amen. All right, keep it simple, amen. And, you know, they've got an unwritten last verse. After when we've been there 10,000 years, I mean, you can tell them to sit down, you probably turn lights off, maybe throw a hand grenade out there in the midst of it. It don't matter. It don't matter. They're going to stand, raise their hands toward heaven, and they're going to say, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Going to finish right. Got to be a desire to praise in our worship. This church has supported me a long, long time. And me and my family are ever so grateful. And I can't tell you. I want to make a challenge to the church in lieu of what we've seen tonight. Each one of our prison Bible schools, and I'll be starting one in Bibb County Prison near Tuscaloosa, Alabama, sometimes this month. And like I said, we got 60 of them scattered over 21 states with over 2,000 students. And each one of those Bible schools costs our ministry about $1,500 before it's all said and done. I buy the entire three-year curriculum from Gulf Coast Bible Institute, a separate entity altogether. I'm a graduate of that. I have no other connections with it except that I do recommend it. And then I donate that curriculum to a local church willing to do the grading and the copying in a local prison. And that's how it's done. And they take it into the prison. We usually put it in the chapel. And it's a, everybody moves at their own pace. It's not a, we don't have a classroom teacher. It's all by correspondence. 75% of the folks in prison, especially in the Southeast, came from a Baptist background. The recidivism rate for our Bible graduates is still, since 94, I started first prison Bible school in Bullock County Prison in Alabama, repeat offender rates hovering around 1%. That's pretty astounding, considering the national average in corrections is 85%. I was going to my printer in Dothan. It's been a few years ago. Then I had to go to my doctor in Pensacola, and I cut across the country like I'd never been. I come to a little town. I don't remember the name, Hartford or something. Had one light, one convenience store. I got up, gave me a cup of coffee, and a well-dressed black man got out of his truck on the other end, was heading toward the door in the middle, and he got about 10 feet away. He said, "You Dave Turner?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I just want to shake your hand." He said, "I earned my Bible degree, my graduate of theology degree in Bullock County Prison in Alabama." He said, "Been out 10 years now, got back with my wonderful wife, my four boys." He said, "I've been pastoring the First Baptist Church here in town for the last 7 years. He said, "I just want to thank you." We will never know till we get to glory what that Bible school has done. Because most of them, I just hear bits and pieces through my chaplains and people that write in. My challenge to the church is to let me drop off this little prison bank. Looks like a jail. My challenge is every fifth Sunday, I got three ways to pitch this, if you will. Every fifth Sunday, turn four or five little ones loose to go out and just get a dollar from anybody who wants to give. Just a dollar, just a dollar. We call that dollars for diplomas. And with a church this size in a few short years, you'll pay for one of our prison Bible schools. Or that's just every fifth Sunday. In other words, if somebody got in on that, every time it costs them $4 a year. I don't think it would infringe too much on your many, many other missions projects. Or three or four Sunday school classes. If you don't have a project, put it in one class 1 week and challenge the class once again. Whoever wants to give it, give $1. If you had four classes that pass that bank around, it'd be in each class just once a month and just $1. Or maybe children's church if you don't have something else going on there. You say, well, preacher, this ain't for us, and we got a lot going on. And I know that's true, but if you take this bank, I'll just talk better about you when I leave. Amen. Yeah, I'm never ashamed to beg for money for a good cause that does not benefit me personally. This is for Prison Bible School. It's my dream come true. It's the only prison Bible school in the country, probably on planet Earth, that's free of charge and offers a true Bible degree. That is my challenge. And I want to thank you for your time. Preacher, I'm done.